Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back with you on this virtual connection. No, it's not Valentine's Day. I know I have those Valentines that are behind me, those hearts. Please understand, we're going to get into a message today that we're going to talk about what love is when it comes to the believer. I just want to thank you so much for your prayers as we are living epistles. That's been our theme for this year. And as I see the world get darker and darker, I'm going to deal with that too. We have to allow God's light to shine in us. Thank you for going along with us, reading with us on our yearly Bible reading. It has been an extraordinary journey together as we're growing in the Lord. We're becoming stronger in Him. Thank you so much for staying connected to ebcnc.com. Souls are being saved. Maybe you're looking on, you don't know Jesus. There's information there to really get you connected, to get into the Word of God. God is looking for those to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. That's what He's doing. He's the one who saves. And we just praise the Lord for being a part of, again, this body. On Mondays, we have Monday Manna, where there are different teachings at ebcnc.com. We've got our Tuesday Noonday Bible Study, where we're going through the book of Genesis excerpts. We're actually studying on Melchizedek, and we went over to the book of Hebrews to get more information on that. Then on Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Luke. That's at 7 o'clock. And then we have an in-person service Bible study on Thursdays at 6 o'clock, where we're going through the 1 Corinthians. Just a wonderful, wonderful scripture that really gives us checks on our lives as we look at the Corinthian church, just really allowing the Spirit of God to minister to us. Please don't stop praying for our services. We have our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service that more souls be saved. And we thank you for being a part of that with your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, that we don't have to give grudgingly or a necessity, but we can give with cheerfulness because God has been a wonderful provider. Whether you're giving through our app or you're sending our secure mailbox or you're an in-person service where you're giving there, we thank you, thank you. The Lord has allowed us to reach out to places overseas, other places that missionaries are out to encourage them. Also, we're being able to reach out locally. Some of you have been with us in City Central Park in Greensboro, where we're giving out food and giving out clothing and encouragement word and helping out our community. So we just thank you for all that you are doing. Well, I'm ready to get into the Word of the Lord. And as we focus in, I want you to think, how does God want us to be used when it comes to loving? Man, we're going to get deep. We'll see you soon.
Our scripture this morning comes from John 14th chapter, first to the 11th verse. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and where I'm going, you may know. I'm going, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? Philip said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Has seen the Father. So how can you say, show me the Father? Uh-huh. Do you not know Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. May the Lord bless us through his real word.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Good to know that we've got victory in Jesus. Any amens, just put the emoticons, the hallelujah hands up, or type out hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is so good that we have victory in him. But we're getting back into this section, the life of the believer, specifically what we look like as we are walking as believers. As we get into the message, we're going to talk about really extensively our lives are important. God has saved us and left us here in the world so that we can show forth who Christ is. I want to go back to our memory scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And starting at that second verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we've been reading this aloud so it can get into our mind and seep down into our hearts. So if you can prepare yourself to read it with me, that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at the second verse. Let's read. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Truly, that is the standard that God has set before us. Before we get into the scriptures, please, let's go in a word of prayer together. Father, I just thank you for who you are. You are amazing. I thank you for using this virtual connection to connect us to so many, Lord, that desire your word. Lord, I pray that if there's someone looking or listening that doesn't know you, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, thank you for that immense grace. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you please teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Father, I just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we want to get into the book of Romans, specifically Romans chapter 13 and the 10th verse. So much is going on within the society, especially as Christians are being saved, and this Roman background, it was known for at least having almost 2 to 3 million, some say 4 million people there. It was an opulent lifestyle. The rich were getting richer, but at the same time, the poor were getting poorer. And so Paul the Apostle is being used by the Holy Spirit to really minister in a powerful way. As we look at that Romans 13 and 10, it reads, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Listen to that. It's a heavy scripture. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I want to speak from the title today, Loving at All Levels. Loving at all levels. Time frame, AD 57 or so. Again, Paul the Apostle coming in and to minister to the saints there. We're going to deal with a lot of governmental issues as we're going to begin to talk about Nero, which was a wicked king. I'm going to show you that. And so the Christians are like, okay, how do we advance ourselves in the society? Where do we fit in? We've got a wicked ruler. Is God in this? Are we supposed to move to another place? And so Paul is using the Holy Spirit to really lay down these lines for that society, how to deal with a governmental structure that they had. Also, we're going to be able to apply that to our lives and the stresses that we go through, even in this season of so much uncertainty. Let's just jump into this chapter. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Here's our first point, love and government. Yes, love and government. Loving at all levels. Now, this is critical. You've got to bring yourself into the context again. This king, Nero, is wicked. I'm going to give you some background on him. But these Christians are like, we just got saved. We've got this wicked emperor. God, we thought that you were going to change everything. And so now this government structure, how they're supposed to act, how they're supposed to carry themselves is very important. There's no separation of government and religion at this point. It is Nero is in control. They are saved and they have been meshed into the society. A historian, Farstad, really writes of this time, Nero blamed Christians for a fire which destroyed half the city of Rome and which he himself may have ordered. He caused some believers to be immersed in tar, then ignited as living torches to provide illumination for his orgies. Others were sewn up into animal skins, then thrown to ferocious dogs to be torn to pieces. Imagine that back set. You're living in this society, and Paul says you're supposed to reverence those that are over you. I'm telling you, this is tough. People are being killed around you, and Paul is like, I'm not asking you to protest at this point. I want you to trust God to work out this situation. We must show love, hear me, by respecting authority that God has placed over us. Now, I can hear some of you like, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with, what I'm hearing from those that are in authority. And we're going to talk about that, because there are some specific parameters that we can. Acts 5:29, Peter told us this as he was talking to those that were around. He says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So in those instances where we have choices of that the leading or the leaders are going against God's mandates, we're going to follow God. But the scripture also lets us know that when we follow God, we may have to suffer in that. There may be judgment against us, but we have to trust God to work it out. It's getting quiet. It's getting quiet out there simply because we are feeling those stresses that are in our society. So many are talking. We've had the police issues and the brutality. We've had the defund the police movement and all these things. And I understand this uproar, but still as Christians, we are loving at all levels. Daniel Webster, the defender of the U.S. Constitution in the 1800s, he said something powerful. Because we've got to realize that these are dark times. These were dark times dark times as the Christians were trying to navigate through this, and even where we're living at, dark times. Daniel Webster says this. He says, God has established human government because people are sinners and must be controlled. Governmental authority comes from God, so you must respect the office even if you cannot respect the officer. The fear of punishment is not the highest motivation for obedience, but it is better than having chaos. Let's be real with ourselves. If we had no authority, if there were no police in Greensboro, I'm not going to New York, I'm not in Raleigh or Durham, I'm talking about in Greensboro. I'm telling you, I believe that chaos would rise, even as we're dealing with so many atrocious crimes. We're dealing with abduction of kids. We're dealing with random gunshots that are being put out within our community. I'm telling you, thank God for the authorities that the Lord has allowed to be there, but we've got to trust the Lord even more to allow us to respect them, pray for those that are in authority, pray for our police, pray for those that are on those streets dealing with all the pressures as we're loving at all levels. Love in government is so important because as Christians, we have to make sure that we're not grumbling about everything that we don't even understand. There ought to be some amens out there. I hear so many people talking about government, talking about leadership, and they like it or they don't, or they like someone or they don't like someone, and they're talking like this person is their friend. They're talking about like they really studied into this. But as Christians, we've got to make sure when we are talking, we're hearing from the Lord, we can back it up with facts, and we can separate the issues from the people and realize that souls need to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Are you moving for change or just satisfied in complaining? I want to say that again. Are you moving for or to change, or you're just satisfied in complaining? We've got to love at all levels. Look at Romans 13:6. Paul, the apostle, being used of the Spirit, takes it to another level. He said, for because of this, you also pay taxes. Can you just put in the chat? I just want to make sure that you're with me. Taxes. I know it's tax time. I know we're dealing with that now. This is very applicable to our lives. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Here it is. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Here's another point. Render love. Yes, render love. Did you know that paying your taxes should be done in love? It's quiet again. Paying your taxes should actually be done in love. And I don't see too many people doing it in love unless you're getting that refund back. We do grumble and complain about this tax, and the taxes are being raised. And I get it. I'm there. But here, as we look in the scriptures, the Spirit is ministering to these Christians that are in this atrocious time. He said, you know what? Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. You're going to show love, even though they may not deserve it, even though it may be used for something that is not good. Pay those taxes. Look at Romans 13:6 again. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Think about the things we do support with our taxes. The police department, as we talked about earlier, fire protection, all of those things, the stability of our society. So God has used us, even in the salaries that we get, the payments that come into our lives, to take a portion of that to support the governmental structure that's over us. Yes, we're loving at all levels. I mean, it changes everything that when we're thinking. I know you're looking at your paycheck and you're seeing how much is going out to federal, how much is going out the state. Doesn't it make you upset? You know, somebody said, who is FICA anyway? That whole process. But please understand, we're loving at all levels. We're rendering love. But remember the environment that they were going through. Remember the heaviness of the Christians in that Roman structure and society. Here's a little bit more of history of this Emperor Nero. I want to know how bad it was when Paul is writing this to them. Nero's mother, Agrippina, sister of Emperor Caligula, who killed and tortured thousands for pleasure, had Nero's stepfather assassinated with a dish of poisoned mushrooms. Ouch. Nero himself killed his stepbrother, Britannicus, when the boy was just 14 years old. Later, when he feared that his mother would attempt to exercise the power of the throne, Nero killed her as well. He banished his first wife, Octavia, to an island and had her killed. Still later, he slew his second wife, Poppaea. I'll tell you, this is their leader. This is the one that is in control. But as Christians, they had to understand, and we need to understand, God supersedes all of this. God is in control. No matter how evil the things that are around us, we've got to realize that God raises kings and he pulls them down. God is in control. Yes, he does allow things to go. And I can't give you a great explanation of why, but I do know the scriptures say all things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we have to trust the Lord. Yet Paul still brings out, in essence, we need to render love. The Spirit speaks strongly in rendering that love to people that are around us. Even though we're citizens of heaven, you got to remember that. This place is not our home, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But even though that is the fact, that is the case, we are still subject to administering at love at all levels in this world, so people can know that Christ is real and that he's still saving souls. Remember when Jesus was challenged with this whole process of rendering taxes? You're like, Pastor Jesus? Yeah, Jesus, he was put in a touchy situation where the Pharisees, Sadducees were trying to get him, and they figured that he wouldn't pay taxes because he had said that he was king of the Jews. Matthew 17:24, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? This is interesting. They didn't go directly to Jesus. They go to Peter. We know Peter is kind of outspoken. And so Peter is caught in this tight spot. Notice what he does. Matthew 17:25. He says, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him. God knows everything, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Matthew 17:26. Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. wow, I can see Peter's eyes getting big. Basically, he's like, okay, so we don't have to pay taxes. I told him that you did pay taxes, but look at Matthew 17:27, the wisdom of God, loving at all levels. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Loving at all levels. I know some of you that had to pay tax. You're like, I wish I could go to the sea and get a fish and have my tax money in it. But I want you to know God is still a provider. And as we love at all levels, there ought to be some witness say, yes, God has been good. Did he wake you up this morning? Did he allow you to have food to eat? We got to give God praise because he has taken care of us, loving at all levels. Look at Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Here's the next point. The debt of love. Yes, the debt of love. Now this scripture really changed my life years and years ago because I had to wrestle with it. There was tension in the text when it got to this point. I tried to spiritualize this particular scripture, but as I walked up from Romans 13:1, we see that we're literally talking about money. We're talking about physical money, taxes, and then the Spirit takes us to this, and it literally says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Clearly, how do we deal with this in society where it lives on debt? So many are in debt. And I want you to think about how much physical debt you owe right now. I want you to kind of process that. I want you to think about your student loans. I want you to think about your cars. I want you to think about your houses. I want you to think about all of that credit card debt that you may be carrying. And we encourage our saints and the people of God not to carry all of this debt, because I want you to think about something. All the debt that you're carrying, how has it changed your life? What choices have you actually been forced to make because of owing someone else? Yes. Please understand. This debt can have a control on us. It can push us into how we work or the jobs that we choose or the places we go when it comes to the things of God. So I want you to think about the control that debt has over us. But now I want you to think about love. How much love is in your life and how has it impacted you in your choices? When you can compare the two, which one has had a greater impact in your life? Now this is important here, because the scriptures bring out that when we are in debt, please understand that control can get into our minds and it can actually limit the movement of God. I'm going to show you Romans 13:8 again. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The debt of love is heavy. Somebody in the chat, can you put heavy? This is heavy. John 3:16 lets us know that what love is all about. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a heavy love. And so we have to navigate our lives. I've been using that a lot. We've got to get to the point of realizing, God, I want to glorify you in everything. So if it's a choice of taking on debt or using my love to bless someone, I'm going to choose the spiritual lesson to walk into that, so that there's no more chains on me, no more chains on my mind. Think about it. If God would call you to a missionary journey, maybe go to India to share the good news, what things would you have to put in place to even get there? What things would you have to get rid of? Could you even go because of the things that have encapsulated your life? 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? The debt of love. Saints, I believe that we're in a serious situation. Even as we look at our governmental structures, some of the banks have failed all because of this structure of debt, and it's began to collapse in so many people's lives. There's an outroar of student debt, and kids are saying, please take this debt off of our lives. So many people are carrying this burden over and over again, and as saints of God, we've got to allow God to move in our lives, that we can make choices, that we can impact a generation, and we can tell people there is a better way. We can owe no one anything but to love, but we've got to walk close to the Lord. We've got to decide to give ourselves more and more to Him, loving at all levels. He doesn't stop there. He continues on to Romans 13:9, connecting this, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Here's the next point, love your neighbor. Yes, love your neighbor. And so we talked about that from that last point, loving, the debt of love, because now it's connected with our neighbors. Who is our neighbor? All of those that God has allowed us to minister to that are around us. To love your neighbor is to love like Christ. You get that? To love your neighbor is to love like Christ. It's not loving what your neighbors have and wanting that to be yours. That's not what we're talking about. That's actually coveting. There's some people who covet what their neighbor have. No, we want to love them in a way that they're blessed by God, that they understand the love of God, that they understand how much God loves them. But please understand, notice the scriptures are very clear that we are not supposed to harm our neighbors. How many of us have allowed things to come into our lives that are actually harming our neighbors? That we're not paying attention to those that are around us because we're so caught up maybe in social media, so caught up in our lives, we become so focused in on ourselves, narcissistic in a way that we can't see the needs that are around us. Romans 13:9 brings this out again. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's actually a quoted from Galatians 5:14. God is saying we've got to hear His voice and we've got to reach out, we've got to love at all levels. Look at Romans 13:11. And do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. His next point, showing love in darkness. Yes, showing love in darkness. I'm telling you, in the context here, it is a dark time. Paul, through the aid of the Spirit, has told them, you know what? You got to still reverence people around there. You got to render love to them. It said, owe no one anything but to love them. This whole process, loving your neighbor, even in these dark times. Please look at this, Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Paul is saying, please understand, salvation is coming to your life, but please, please, Christ is getting closer to coming back. Please, that's 57 AD, and look at where we are in 2023. Don't we see the signs of the times that He could crack the sky at any time, could come back? And we've got to make sure that we're focused on the Lord. We've got to make sure that we're walking in the light. That the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 really sums up these verses greatly, and that first verse, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes, here it is, as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But here, listen to this. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness. Can you just put light? Can you light? I'm going to get ahead of myself. Just put it in the chat. Somebody, wherever you're sitting, say light, light. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation, loving at all levels. I'm telling you, when we take on what the word says and we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us on the inside out, we become a pinnacle of light. We begin to show that Jesus is real. He's still saving. He's still delivering souls. He's still helping people. I'm telling you, I found out that you don't have to have a whole bunch of stuff. You don't have to have the biggest house in your neighborhood. You don't have to have the finest car. All you got to do is just give me Jesus. If we can stay close to the Lord, I'm telling you, people want to hear a truth. People want to hear a word from the Lord. Look at Romans 13:13. As we pull this together, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Final point, dressed in the love of Christ. Dressed in the love of Christ. I'm telling you how we've gone deep today, because I'm telling you, when we began to really compare ourselves to the Word of God, man, there should be some repenting there. And I know 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unright. All of us need to grow into the Lord. The Apostle Peter, he sums it up like this in 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct, here it is, honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of their visitation. I'm telling you, isn't that good news to know that we're dressed up in the spirit of love, walking in God? Ephesians 4:20 says it like this, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We don't live like we used to do before God. No, when we came to God's side, there was a change. The old man passed away. Behold, all things became new. But we still had to deal with some of the issues. We still had to navigate. I realize everything is not perfect the way it should be. But aren't you glad God is still walking with us step by step? When we look back, we may not be what we want to be. But please understand, thank God that we're not what we used to be. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Ephesians 4:23 really takes us to that point. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. Please, God is taking us to the point that we can decide we're going to love at all levels. And because we're loving at all levels, we've got to make some decisions that may not be comfortable at times, but we know that they glorify God. Look at Romans 13:14 again, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Anybody know that the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do? And we've got to decide, I'm not going to make a provision for that. I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to put God first, and I'm going to love at all levels. There is so much temptation that's around us, and so we have to even limit the things that we're around. We have to limit sometimes the people that we're around. We've got to get more into the Word. We've got to pray more. We got to worship more. We got to praise him more. Are there any saints understanding what I'm saying? When your flesh rises up, you've got to learn how to call on the name of the Jesus of Christ, the anointed one, to come into you. You've got to learn how to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to decide that even when you don't want to praise him, to lift up your hands and say, God, I'll praise you in the midst of my crying. I'll praise you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes. I'm talking about loving at all levels. Can be tough. Well, Jesus is our example. Yes, he showed us how to love at all levels. We know he comes from heaven and earth, walks among men, heals the sick, raises the dead. He teaches like none other. We find him in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out to the Father, not my will, let thy will, but thy will be done. We see him betrayed by Judas Iscariot. We see him spit on as he goes down the Via Dolorosa. We see nails in his hands. He's loving at all levels. He's on the cross of Calvary, and there on the cross, the thief's on the side of him and says, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? He says, this day thou shalt be with me, and loving at all levels. But there's a portion that I want you to realize, even though he was doing all of that, he remembered his mother. Yes. We've got to understand this whole process here. In the scriptures, John 19:25, very powerful. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. I'm talking about loving at all levels. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I tell you, that's good news to know that even on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus was loving at all levels, loving all of those that were around him. But I'm so glad about Hebrews 12:1 sums this up for us, this love at all levels. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary? He was put in the grave, but yet he got up 3 days later with all power and glory, also that we could come to him and fall down, and we could allow his presence to come in us, and we can truly love at all levels. Saints, God has done a tremendous work in the believer. It is not easy, but thank God, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. The world needs to see us stand up for God. The world needs to see us live for God, speak for God, not just on Sunday, but every day, when we're on our jobs, when we're in the grocery stores, man, we have to be submitted to the Lord. We have to watch the words that come out of our mouths because others are listening. How we talk about our government, others are listening. How we deal with our neighbors, others are listening. How much debt we carry in our lives compared to the debt of love that we owe, others are looking. Saints, where are you in your life? Before I pray, maybe you're looking in, you're like, wow, that's a lot. But you want this Jesus that loved at all levels, that even cared about his mama when he's dying on the cross. You want that type of love. Well, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and says you will be saved. He is a faithful God. How do I know? Because he saved me. He's a wonderful God. To the saints, we've got to step up. As you can see, God wants to transform our entire lives. Not just our Sunday life, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Everything that we are, he wants it because he paid the price on Calvary. But I can say as a believer, every day gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before as we surrender ourselves to his will. And say, God, not my will, but let thy will be done. Help me, God, to love at all levels. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, even for the Christians that were living in that terrible society under Nero, they still had to step up. Lord, our society is falling apart. We've got wars and rumors of wars. The weather fluctuates. But Lord, we thank you. Lord, we have murders and random acts of violence right here in our community. But Father, thank you that you've allowed us to be here. Lord, we know that you're soon to return. But while we're here, help us, God, to love at all levels. Forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, to make a change. Some of us feel like, Lord, that we're in boxes. We made bad decisions of the past, and sometimes we can feel like we can't get out of that. But let your saints know right now, with you, all things are possible if they trust you. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful hand of mercy. Lord, we just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah. Lord, do it. Lord, do it.
Lord, do it for me.
Hey, Lord, do it, yeah.
Lord, do it for me.
If you would do it. Can y'all say it just one more time? Lord, do it.
Lord, do it.
I don't mind asking the Lord.
Lord, do it for me.
Hey, Lord, do it, yeah. Do it for me.
Do it for me.
Right now. Listen. Listen. You read the Bible. You told a story. All about a blind man who could not see. And then one day he heard Jesus was passing by. He said, lay your hands on me. I heard him in a loud voice, Lord, do it, yeah.
Lord, do it.
Please do it.
Lord, do it for me.
Ain't no harm in asking the Lord to do it for me. If you would do it for me. I want to say that verse one more time. You read the Bible. You told a story. Oh, about a blind man who could not see. And then one day he heard Jesus was passing by. He said, lay your hands on me. I heard him in a loud voice say, Lord, do it, yeah.
Lord, do it.
Please do it.
Lord, do it for me.
Hey, Lord, do it, yeah. For me right now.
Do it for me right now.
Over and over and over and over, Lord, do it, yeah. Please do it. Hey, Lord, do it, yeah. If you would do it, yeah. Now.